All right, so today is going to be I'm trying to experiment. I got a huge passage of scripture, but I just didn't want to break it up, you know. And since you guys have had guest speakers for the last 2 weeks, I figure that, you know, I can come back and be myself and give you the long, boring version, you know, and everything will be good here. So if you have a Bible, you can turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, because we're going to tear into this passage a little bit. And I'm going to do it a little bit differently than I think that I would normally have done it if I'm teaching a class. You know, I'm teaching the book of Romans on Tuesday afternoon at Judy Taylor's home. And those people are like, I'm just watching their eyes, the light's going on when they're reading the book of Romans. See, the thing is that most of us have been exposed to a cultural religion, meaning that we get bits and pieces of Christian ideas that come to us from movies and shows and people around us who say, oh yeah, this or that. And so we kind of begin to formulate sort of a cultural idea of what Christianity is about. And yet when you actually open the New Testament books and you read what they have to say, it blows your mind. It's mind-blowing. The book of Romans is revolutionary. Really, it is. When you read the book of Romans and compare that to what we think Christianity is versus what Christianity actually is, it just shakes you to your core. And not that it makes it harder. What it does is it explains to you what God has done and what His great grace is for us and what His life-transforming process is. And it's true with any of the books of the New Testament if we actually read them and understand them. It'll transform your life. Colossians chapter 3 is sort of one of those passages of Scripture that on the heels of chapter 1 and 2, you know, I mean, you know, it's like when you put it all together, it's sort of really freeing. And you begin to understand why the gospel is good news. And it kind of sets a tone for your life that you can't get anywhere else. So we're actually going to look at chapter 3, and I have it up here. If you don't have your Bible, you'll be able to read it with me. And it's going to be a long passage of Scripture, but I'm going to try to break it into some sections that will be manageable for us. I know you need binoculars to read the words, but unless you have really good eyes, but you'll just have to listen to me read. Are you ready? Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at God's right hand in the place of honor and power. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Do not think only about things down here on earth. For you died when Christ died, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all His glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual sin or immorality, impurity, lust, and shameful desires. Don't be greedy for the good things of this life, for that's idolatry. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do them when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off the old evil nature and all its wicked deeds. In its place, you have clothed yourselves with a brand new nature that is continually being renewed as you learn more and more about Christ, who created this new nature within you. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people whom He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You must make allowance for each other's faults and forgive the person who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And the most important piece of clothing you must wear is love. Love is what binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the words of Christ in all their richness live in your hearts and make you wise. Use his words to teach and counsel each other. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus, all the while giving thanks through him to God the Father. Would you all say that was a mouthful? I kind of want to ask, I want to say, what part of that passage of Scripture, but it's so big, unless you have it in front of you, you may not be able to do this, but I kind of want to ask, well, what part really jumps out at you or speaks to you? I kind of want to ask that, but I'm just going to go and pick out some things here that I want to sort of emphasize when it comes to our life in Christ. And the first thing is I want to tell you is, there's an amazing truth that's kind of hidden here. And it's not just in the words, it's in who Paul's writing this to. Paul's not writing these words to talk about put off this, you know, this other stuff and put on this. Paul's not writing that to the world. It would seem like these are good words to get out there and preach on a street corner to people. But Paul isn't writing that. He's writing this to people who have already accepted Christ, who have already yielded their lives to him. And what that reveals to us is we can give our lives to Christ, but still find ourselves struggling against some of the old stuff. We find ourselves involved in that, don't you? No, you don't. Wes Dawes is perfect. I mean, you know, he's got it all together. These words were written to the church, not to the world. And so these words were written to us who are in Christ. Which means our journey isn't done. And yet it is done. That's kind of where I want to land with you. But I just want you to think about that for a moment. One of the most amazing things about this passage is it's written to the church. So, you know, when I read this passage of Scripture, and probably because of what I've been having to interact with the book of Romans, the perspective that brings all of this together for me is sort of a philosophical statement. It's a statement that I kind of put together to kind of explain our human condition. And I want to share this with you because it's a perspective that shines brightly on what we just read. In the fall, does everybody know what I mean by the fall? In the fall, not the season fall like we're in right now, you know. In the fall. In other words, when Adam and Eve, the first two, our human parents, however long ago, chose to walk away from God. In the fall, human beings lost what made them in the image of God. We lost something. We were spiritual creatures alive to God. Human beings became something less. What's kind of interesting is that we use this phrase, well, he's only human or she's only human. We usually use that to explain our weaknesses. Well, I'm only human, you know. But really, human beings were created to be something more than that. We were created to be something more. Human beings became something less when we fell. In other words, what we see in this room is something less than the image of God. What we see in the world, When a child comes into the world, and a brand new baby, and you look at that baby, it still is something less. There's an echo, shall we say. There's a reminder of something that God created, but we are less. We're animated creatures with animal instincts and urges, yet with some residual or memories of what we were created to be. Not quite what God created, but not quite animals either. I want you to stop and just kind of let that sink for a moment. Because when you consider the human dilemma, who we are and how we exist and function in this world, not quite animals, but not quite what God created either. Don't you ever feel like that? Don't you ever feel like there's a battle in me and I can't figure out why it's there, but it's there? And I know I'm not quite what God created me to be. But I'm not quite an animal, although in our culture we continue to turn back more and more towards animalistic instincts. The world is changing. I like to call this the residual, you know, is that we have a residual within us of what God created. It's still there and it echoes at us, but we aren't really in touch with it. And so we try to muddle our way through life, you know, in this in-between state of not quite being an animal, but not quite being what God created us to be. The residual is constantly at war with the animal nature, but it has no power to overcome it. When a person comes to Christ, he experiences a new birth. When a person comes to Christ, most of you in this room have done that. You experience a new birth. And the image of God is planted once again in the man or the woman by the presence of the Holy Spirit. We now have new life. Everybody say new life. Christ lives in you. You now have new life. A new direction. Everybody say new direction. We don't live as the rest of the world does. We may once in a while feel like, you know, why can't I? But you have new life and you have a new direction. You have something else that now animates you, something else that tweaks your heart, something else that drives you to do the things that you do. And it's a conflict with the rest of the world. But it's there because Christ is there in you. You have a new direction, and I like to call that an orientation when you orient your life differently. Paul starts off this passage, seek the things above where Christ is. What are your priorities? Are they about where you're going and where you're heading? Is it about God's will in your life? Or is it about like the rest of the world, which says, I just want my piece of the pie and I just want to get by? I mean, what animates your life? What is it that directs you? And if you are in Christ, you know there's a voice inside of you that says there's something more to live for than just yourself. That's a new orientation. And not only do you have a new orientation, you have a new life, new direction, and you have the power, actually, or the reason to become more than that animal nature. This is God's gift to us and our new life's orientation. Now, whether any of that makes sense to you or not, except you know that there's something at odds inside of me, you know what? There's something at odds in me. I mean, I'm like two beings. There's a part of me that relates to the animal world. There's a part of me that has desires and instincts and things like that that this other part of me says no to. I make choices against it. That's what morality is, by the way. That's part of what makes us human. Is that we make choices with our sexual desires and our sexual nature. We make choices with our appetites. I doubt if a dog does that. You put food in front of a dog, and a dog's going to eat it. And sometimes they'll eat until they're sick, won't they? You put food in front of an animal, or you put, animal desires in front of them, they don't make moral choices. But we are called to do that. That's what makes us human. That's what we're fighting in our culture, by the way, right now. It's exactly what we're fighting. This power, this new direction, this new life is really God's gift to us. And it is our new life orientation. Now, that whole passage in Colossians has this as a backdrop. You can hear echoes of it. When you're reading that passage, keep seeking the things above. Don't allow that animal nature to run your life. You don't have to anymore because you have Christ in you. Rather, treat it like a cloak that you're taking off, and you put on all the things that God wants for you. You're in this reclothing kind of process of putting away the old and bringing on the new. So we're going to talk about that. Our new life is a journey. We have a sign in our kitchen. I think it's still in our kitchen. It says, life is about the journey. Don't we have that? I know we do. I know we have that somewhere. I used to always be intrigued by the passage of Scripture. It starts out, I think, in Numbers, the first time it's mentioned in this way. But it says, when Moses is pleading for a leader who will lead the people to go in and come out. Have you ever run across a verse like that in the Scripture where it talks about going in and coming out, going out and coming in, that kind of thing? The same thing when Solomon becomes king, and in his very intimate prayer, when he's praying with God, he's saying, God, and God says, I've called you, what do you want? And Solomon gets on his knees and he prays to God and he says, I'm just a young guy, and you've given me such responsibility to lead this nation, and I don't know how to go out or come in. And that's always kind of captured my heart. I always thought there's something to that phrase that I'm supposed to get. Just that idea of going out, coming in, going out, coming in. You've heard me allude to it. If you've been around me for any length of time, you've heard me allude to that in a variety of circumstances. But I'm always captivated by just that phrase. One of my favorite psalms is Psalms 121. 121 is a beautiful psalm. It's not very long, but in verse 8, it's this phrase: "The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in." And when I read the passage that we are confronted with today in Colossians chapter 3, all of a sudden, this makes sense. Because going out and coming in, we are constantly doing that, and that alludes to the journey that we're on. It's not talking about just a physical going out and coming in. It's talking about transformation in your life. Christ is planted in you when you accept Christ into your life. You're born again. There's a new life inside of you. And that new life is planted now in you, and a journey is beginning of transformation, of that new life taking over and capturing that old life. And you are part of that journey. Jesus described it in many parables. One parable, he said, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which when planted, it's the smallest of all seeds, he said, but it grows into the largest of all the herb plants in the garden. In other words, out of this tiny seed comes this beautiful herb that's so big that even the birds of the air can come and, enjoy it. Or he said it again, the kingdom of God is like leaven, which a woman puts in meal and covers it over and waits until that tiny bit of leaven that she puts in that loaf leavens everything that's there. When you accept Christ, you may not know the implications of the whole journey. All you know is, I need a Savior, and I want to be what God wants me to be, and I've failed miserably. God, come into my life and help me. And He plants the seed in you. And that seed has a life of its own. And it begins this transformation process so that what God has done, what He has done on the inside, actually works its way out into the way that you live, the way that you think. And you are becoming, once again, you are being renewed once again into what God created Adam and Eve to be, created in His image. That's what this is about. For some of us, it seems to happen slower than others. You know, just like plants. You know, I mean, you know, you plant plants. Some of them grow quick. Some of them don't grow quick. Some of them take a long time. But you have a part in that as well, which is what Paul is pointing out. So we come to this going out and coming in. But I'm doing more than just the journey that we are doing. It also has to do with doing away with that which is out, the old stuff, get it out of your life, and doing away and putting in the new. Going out and coming in, going out and coming in. We are on a journey with that. And if you've just begun in Christ, or if you're an old guy like me, you're supposed to laugh at that and say, oh no, you're not old. But you didn't. You just like took it. I mean, I don't get that. I'm still on that journey. As long as I've been in Christ, I have not met anyone, no matter who they are, that is not on that journey as well. I love Gus Bess. He's on that journey. He's not done. I'm not done. But be on the journey and cooperate with the Spirit of God. And you'll become everything that God wants you to be. So everybody say that with me. Out with the old.
Out with the old.
Now I'm not talking about the person sitting next to you. Like out with the old. You know, in with the new. You know, that kind of. But I'm talking about the old stuff. That animal nature. That part of us that is in us. And so let's see what kind of list Paul comes up with for out with the old. From Colossians chapter 3. Are you ready? This one, it gets heavy. The sinful earthly things lurking within you. Look at the person next to you and tell them they're lurking in you, you know. Oh, Gary, by the way, they're lurking within you. No. Out with the old, say it. That's right. We don't want those sinful earthly things lurking within us, right? Yeah, right. All right, here goes. Sexual sin, impurity, lust, and shameful desires. Say it again. Out with the old.
Out with the old.
That's it. That's it. How about greed? For that's idolatry.
Out with the old.
Yeah, you're getting it. You're getting it here. Okay, you're getting it. All right, this one gets a little more personal here for some people in here. Anger, rage, malicious behavior. Bobby Horn, say it, come on. I have to think about malicious behavior here, I mean, a little bit. I mean, why did I think of you when I hear that malicious behavior? Slander, dirty language. That's it. And lying to each other. You got it. All right, so that's the list there. All right, then Paul gives us the other thing. Remember, he says take off, and he gives this whole list of stuff that I just read to you. Put them off. Take them off. And we just said out with the old, you know. But, you know, it's like we're on a journey, right? And so going out means I'm going to come into some. If you go out this door, you're going in somewhere. Right? You're always in that. So you can't just take out. And that's the thing that many people just mistake, is that like they think Christianity is about getting rid of this stuff out of my life. He's already in your life. And guess what he says? You already got the victory. There's not anything in your life that you have to look at and say, oh, that's too big for me. I can never overcome this. He is bigger than any of that stuff. That's Paul's point in this passage. And he says it so casually, put off. And he gives you that whole list of stuff just like we did. Out with the old, out with the old, out with the old. So it's not like I've got to discipline myself and put myself together. God's at work in you doing that. And no matter what you face, any of those things, or maybe other things that you face, you know, if you just say, okay, that was the old stuff. That's the stuff I want to get rid of. God help me. Really? He'll help you. And the victory is guaranteed. You already have it. So everybody say, in with the new. In with the new. Okay, so let's see what the new is. Tenderhearted, mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. In with the new. That's it. You got it. Make allowance for each other's faults. You mean I have to make allowance for Wes Dawes' faults? In with the new. That's really harder than it sounds, isn't it? Making allowance for somebody's faults. Phew. Forgive the person who offends you. You must forgive others. In with the new. That's it. The most important piece of clothing that you get to put on that you must wear is love. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. Let me just pause here and give a little addendum. I don't know who's going to get elected. I don't know how this election is going to go. But let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. In with the new. Amen? Amen. Okay, and let me see. Here's another one. Always be thankful. Always? Even when I fall in a creek bed and I land on my arm and, you know, and everything is like, be thankful. Always be thankful. Always. All right. Let's see. But he's not done. He's got a little more. Let the words of Christ live in your hearts and make you wise. What makes you wise? The words of Christ. Yeah. Use his words to teach and counsel each other. In with the new. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. In with the new. Whatever you do, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus, all the while giving thanks through him to God the Father. Amen. Whatever you do or say, as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you're taking off, you're putting on. You're taking off, you're putting on. Why do I come to church? Because I want to hear Christ's words, because they are transforming words. And they help me in this journey to identify the old, out with the old, and to identify the new, in with the new. And becoming more and more like Christ. I'm not talking about salvation here. I'm talking to a people that are already saved, that already have Christ inside of them, but are going, God, what am I supposed to do now? And he said, let me transform your life. Let's take off the old garments that have dominated your life for so long. All that grumpy behavior and that judgmental behavior and the other things that have worried you so much, let's just take that off and let's put on the new clothes, which are all these things here. And all of you, I know you identify. When you read that stuff in with the new and you read those things, it's like that's what I want to be. It is. That's who we want to be. In other words, and this is now I'm going to quote from that passage there and kind of put it all together. In other words, Paul puts it this way there. In the place of the old, you have clothed yourselves with a brand new nature that is continually being renewed. continually being renewed. That's my journey. When I find myself in a down place of that, I just realize, God, you're renewing me. You're awakening in me. You're taking me to a new place. And when you view your life in Christ as this kind, in that kind of a journey, I'm constantly going out, I'm constantly coming in, it just will, it'll build in your heart such a hope and such a joy. You are not stuck where you are. God's not condemning you. And it's as easy as changing a garment. Take that off and put this one on. In place of the old, you have clothed yourselves with a brand new nature that is continually being renewed as you learn more and more about Christ, who created this new nature within you. Why do you come here? Because you hear God's word spoken to you. And God's word spoken renews you. When you read Scripture in the morning or in the evening or whenever you read it, and you're reading Christ's word, learn how to read it so that God can speak to you and He'll renew that new nature. He's renewing you constantly. And then finally, Paul tells us, well, what really matters then in this new life is simply this. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters. And He lives in all of us. Christ is all that matters. Christ is all that matters. Where is Christ right now? Is He in you? And so, the way that I approach this passage of Scripture, this long passage of Scripture, now I could, you know, we could stop and spoken about any number of sentences in there and spend a whole day. You know I can do that. A whole day talking about any one of those passages, but I chose to deal with this in this way and just sort of give you a big the big picture of what God is doing. So I chose to do it in this way. And I guess to summarize all of that, if you read that passage, you are seated with Christ, keep seeking the things above, you know, all those things that sound like they're completely done. But on the other side, you also have his counsel saying, put off, and put on, put on. So you have those two things that come together in this passage of Scripture, which can be summarized in this way. We are, yet we are becoming. We are, yet we are becoming. You are saved, yet you are being saved. And you will be saved. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 15, the way he puts the three aspects of the gospel. When a person encounters Christ and gives their life to Christ, you are saved. You're saved then as you'll ever be. When I was 19 years old and I knelt on my living room floor and gave my life to Christ, I was as saved and I was as holy and I was as perfect as I will ever be. God clothed me with Christ just like He clothed you. But I also had a lot of rough edges that needed to be transformed. And so I was saved, but I was being saved. I was, or I am, or I are. How do I do this? We are. Yet we are becoming. And when you recognize that, it'll transform the way that you view life. And so Paul says in that passage, he says, you are raised to new life. Not you are being raised, or you will be one day. You have that life inside of you. Turn to the person next to you for a moment and say, you are raised to new life. You have a new life. You have a new life. You have a new life. So don't act like the rest of the world then. See, if you have a new life, then don't act like the rest of the world. You have a treasure. Don't act like you don't. Don't act like God's judging you. Jesus took the judgment himself. And his death on the cross for you covers not only your past, but your present today and whatever you'll do tomorrow. And you say, well, how can that be? Because he knows you. And his death is once and for all. Once and for all. Well, if that's true, then I can just go and do whatever I want to do. Well, go ahead and try. Because the problem is that you were raised with Christ to a new life. And that new life inside of you will not let you. It may let you for a brief period of time. But sooner or later, if Christ is in you, you'll go, this really isn't fun. This is not good. I don't like the way I feel. I don't like what's going on in me. And the Lord brings you right back to that journey. Are you tracking with me? I know, I've lived it. Your real life, and here's the thing, your real life, everybody say real life. Your real life. What we see in the mirror, we don't see our real life. We only see a shadow of what Christ has done within us. If the blinders could be off and we could see one another as God sees us, clothed with Christ, filled with his Spirit, you know, we'd see such brightness and such light. That's how God views us. Our real life is hidden with Christ in God. Then he says, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then we also will be revealed. So we're on a journey. We're constantly going out, and we're constantly coming in. And our life is being transformed and transformed and transformed. And we are becoming. But one day, when Christ is revealed, we will look different, completed in him and all that he created us to be. And we're just journeying towards that. That's the book of Colossians. Can't hurry that up. You can cooperate with God. I'm putting off that. Oh, God, I don't like wearing that clothing. Angry, malicious, you know. And there's nothing that kind of brings us into that place like some of the stuff that's going on in the world today. And it's easy to get sucked into that. And we're like, you know, we find ourselves spewing ugly stuff. But if Christ is in you, you'll realize pretty quickly, this doesn't feel good. There's something inside of you that's going to go, this isn't right. I had a conversation with a person some years ago, and they were talking about some television ministry that they loved. And I remember sitting there listening to them, and I was getting irked because I've heard this person on that television, and it was like, oh, gosh, I mean, I really wouldn't want to be like, I don't even like that person. I don't like that. And finally I said, well, you know, I really don't like that ministry. Those words came out of me. It was lunchtime, and I got in my car after I finished meeting with that person. I'm driving down the street, and I heard God speak to me. It's one of those, you know, just as plain as can be. I love that person. Just like that. The person that I just said, I really don't like that person and their ministry. You know, I'm driving down the street and God speaks to me just as plain as can be. I love that person. And I said, I know, God. Sorry. I do too. Because I got to love everything you love, right? Do you get it? It's like things may slip out of us. That old nature is not quite, you know, it's like there. Things may slip out of us. But we don't get away with it for long. Because God loves you so much that he speaks to you. And it wasn't a condemning voice. You see, it's not a condemning, okay, man, I'm gonna throw a lightning bolt at you, or you're done, you know. I mean, you're not my representative anymore. Listen. That's not God talking. If that's how you feel, you may hear a divine no, but I can guarantee you, it'll always come with a hope that says, come on back. And when we step out of line on this journey of constantly going out and coming in, there's that divine word that comes to us saying, not that way, this way, over here. It wasn't quite so becoming, Steve. I know, God, I got it. Let's put on love. Let's put on compassion. Let's put on forgiveness. Let's put on the things of the new life that God has already given us and watch God work through his people. I hope that helps you. I hope that helps as you are in this journey. But let's bow our heads and pray together. I don't know, Lord. I don't know what kind of an invitation to give to your people, except to embrace you and embrace the journey that you have for them. I pray for those who are in this room right now that don't quite understand, that don't understand your forgiveness and your grace, that don't know the great love that you have for them, or have just started on this journey but are constantly condemning themselves because they don't live up to it and feel like just giving up. God, I pray for them. I pray that today what you will plant in their hope, in their heart, is hope. Hope for their life. Or maybe hope isn't the word. Maybe faith is the word. Faith to know that you are at work and that you're trustworthy. Lord, I pray that in this room, your glory and your love will just arise, and that we together will be your people to shine to this world the life and the hope that you give us. For those that have needs right now that are in their life, and they can't really see the way out, that how in the world you're going to provide for them. You just remind them today that you are bigger than any circumstance they find themselves in, than any barrier or wall that exists there that you can't seem to see your way through, and that you are bigger than any sin or weakness in their life. So remind them today and build them. Take them by the hand as they go out and come in. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.